It's a Hard Knicks Live. It is a Hard Knicks Live.
Special guest in the house tonight, Barry.
Hard Knicks Live. I know. You can feel the excitement.
Can you give a couple hints to who might be here?
He's a Twitter presence.
Hmm.
And
he's
posts a lot of videos.
Not wearing a bucket hat tonight, which I am very disappointed.
And I don't see a beer in his hand either. And he's not sitting at a bar.
Not sitting at a bar tonight, fellas.
And he's saying that he's not on anything right now.
Little ginger ale,
fellas.
How much to get you to take an edible right now so we can see what happens? Actually, I'm not going to give you anything, but can you take a fucking edible right now?
I definitely could take an edible right now.
Oh, shit. What up, Knicks fans? And what is up, Barry motherfucking D?
What is up, Craig?
And good day to Jay, a.k.a. Landerson Hooper.
Good day to you as well, Craig.
And what is up, Nickinator motherfucker? What is going on?
What's going on, fellas? Welcome. Thank you for having me.
The Nickinator from Twitter. Nickinator or Nickinator?
It depends where we are.
Depends on the level of the evening?
Yeah.
I have to call you Nickinator the whole show? Because that's a mouthful.
No, you can call me O. My name's Orlando. You can call me O.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Out here in the South Bronx, O Boogie. That's how they recognize me, O Boogie. But yeah.
O Boogie is here. Yeah,
yes, sir.
I'm excited to have you. We did spend a few minutes together at a Knick game. How long ago was that, Barry?
I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, maybe? Is that what seems
right?
Has
it been that long?
3 years ago? Maybe 3 years ago?
Was it that long ago?
Maybe three.
After the pandemic year?
Three. Right after the pandemic.
Was Hornacek the coach back then? Holy shit, that's a long time ago.
After the pandemic, is Tibbs.
But when you say we sat to him at a Knick game, it was like totally by chance, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and literally right next to one another. And that, I looked over and I recognized him.
That blew me away. I had a laugh out of that. Like, what are the chances?
Yeah, it's crazy.
What are the chances that I'm sitting here next to the brothers from the Hard Knicks life? I had a laugh out of that.
That was wild.
I feel like that happens to you all the time. Does it not happen to you all the time?
I've been in Park Slope leaving the dentist, and someone literally screamed out, Nickinator, came up to me, put their arm around me, and took a picture. And I was just like, internet fame, I guess, is a thing.
That's awesome. Right,
that's really a thing.
All right. Well,
I was at a bar in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And the guy follows me now. And this guy, he's got to be at least, God, I wish I could remember his app right now, but this guy's like a 6'4 Dominican, huge guy. And he goes, hey, the Nickinator's here. And I'm like, who the fuck is this? This guy's huge, man. He puts his arm around me. Yo, let's take a pic. And we're taking a pic. And it's a little weird when it happens, man. It's kind of weird when it happens. I'm not going to lie.
Barry, has that happened to you out in the world?
No, definitely not.
Me neither, but you have to leave the house for that to happen, right?
That's true, too. That's a good point. It's not going to happen in your kitchen.
All right, guys. The tournament, I got to get a couple ad reads out of the way, and then we can start the fun. The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up into the national championship. You can get the most up-to-the-minute. Was that golf? A golf swing in the middle of that land?
Listen, I'm just throwing them all in there.
You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering info anytime from your desktop or mobile device and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV to get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. And one of our newest sponsors, Cut. I love betting my friends and betting them on anything, sports games, and who's fast. I refuse to stop reading that fucking line.
I mean, who writes ad copy like that?
Of the three of us, I was definitely the fastest growing up. Would you not say?
They didn't say fastest, though, Craig.
What?
They didn't say who bet on who's the fastest. They say bet on who's fast.
I don't know if I would
agree
with
that. I bet you Usain Bolt is fast.
No, I don't think that's what they fucking mean, Barry.
I don't think you were the fastest.
Easily. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal. And were you?
Yeah, I think
your
I was
legs
the
are
fastest.
Too short to be fast,
no,
Blandy.
I think I was probably the fastest. Barry, come on.
Okay. Guys, what's going to be... So this is an app where you can go and bet your friends. That's basically the deal. So what are we betting today? So what are we going to bet today? Let's bet the over-under on the minutes it takes for Nick and Nader to change once he has that edible. Okay, so if he takes it now...
Why don't we bet on whether or not Barry can find the holes?
I mean, it's hard to find the holes.
So why don't we bet on that to see if he can?
What holes?
I don't know. Any holes. Whatever holes he's talking about. Oh, jeez.
I don't know what that means. All right. Use our promo code BLEAV Hardnicks. Believe Hardnicks for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code Believe Hardnicks. Put your money where your mouth is. Gotta be the weirdest tagline for a betting app out there. All right, guys. The Knicks have won 6 of 7 games. Feel like it's been a very up and down season. Mostly up, though. Dante DiVincenzo is a three-point king for the Knicks. 11 three-pointers in that last game. I thought he was about to blow up the NBA record. I don't know what the fuck happened. It felt like he was just on a high, hitting him one after another. I was laying in bed with my son, watching the game on my phone. My son's supposed to be going to bed. I'm watching, and I'm like, dude, this Dante DiVincenzo is like the best three-point shooter we've ever had. And he's like, really? How many does he have this season? And I'm like telling him how good he's doing. And I'm watching on my phone, right? Like this. What is that fucking sound right now?
That's Monty Williams.
I can barely hear it. It's distracting the fuck out of me.
It's Monty Williams crying.
So I'm holding my phone watching, right, facing me, so he can't really see.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, here he is taking another. And he puts it up, and I show my son, and he hits it. He's like, he hit it. And then I go back to it. I'm watching. He's like, he's taking another. And I just go like this to my son without knowing he's going to hit it. He hit it. And I do it again over and over and over again in that whole sequence. It was incredible. Thought he was going to break the three-point record. They even said it on air. Then they took away that 11-3.
I don't even know if they should have taken that away. I know his heel was over the line, but I don't know if it was on the line. I don't know if it even hit the floor.
They didn't show it. They didn't show it from a spot you could see.
It just added to the excitement when they did it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was a great moment. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about when the fuck are these other guys coming back here and what is going on. But let's get started with Nick and Nader. I've been largely off Twitter for a while. It's a fucking cesspool. One of the only non-cesspool people on there is Nick and Nader. So that's the only reason.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you, brother.
He's coming on here. And we need to know from someone who's on the inside of that fucking cesspool. No offense.
Oh, geez.
What is happening out there?
I don't know. You know, it's a crazy time on the timeline. I want to talk Knicks. I know we all want to talk Knicks, but our passion for the team, and everyone logs on to Twitter and they want to express that passion. And for some reason, I almost want to say that that's becoming competitive, where it's a battle for attention. And I don't know what else to really think, but it is kind of a cesspool right now, with guys are more self-absorbed in themselves than the team that we love. So it's a little weird out there right now.
Yeah, I feel like when I was heavy into it, like a couple of years ago, we all do that, right? You go on there and you want to get likes and gain followers. And everyone at some point says shit to just try to get some reaction sometimes, right? But it does seem like it's gotten out of control. And I had to get off of there. I think this whole season I've been barely on. Might do a tweet every few days at best.
I feel there's people on Twitter, I feel like they just guard their takes like with their life. And like they don't want to, God forbid, they come down off whatever hill they're standing on and like change their mind through the course of a season. They won't, they're too spiteful to even do that. So they'll stick to their point, even though they're getting debated the hell out of it. It's being proven on the court of what they're saying is shit. You know, whether it's about a player that they thought was great that's fucking sucking out there or the other way around, they don't want to change their mind. They're afraid you're going to pull out a receipt on them and they're just going to go to the grave with that stupid ass take, whatever it may be.
I mean, I go through that now a little bit with my Tom Thibodeau takes, because I definitely was hard on Coach Tibbs. I definitely was one of those folks that maybe wasn't being fair to him. I think what I realized over time is that there's the Tom Thibodeau way. And that's why at a point I kind of created this hashtag called Thibodeau, where at a point, I think I'm going to say last season or a year ago now, it was like, look, you have you have William Wesley. They traded for Cam Reddish. They want to go the youth route. And then you got Tom Thibodeau, has no interest, right, in going the youth route. You want to get guys that are experienced, that know what to do out there. He's not dealing with babies. And my thing then was like, well, let's go with the coach. Like, give the coach everything that he needs to be successful, and let's see who he really is. Holy shit. Holy shit. I never imagined that we would get this team that we get now. Like we had Precious Achiuwa mic'd up. And I'm listening to Precious Achiuwa, and he's directing traffic. He's letting guys know when they're coming off the screen, whether to stay, whether to go. He's pretty much the captain of the defense on the floor. And I know not once in 2.5 years of Obi Toppin, and I was a big Obi Toppin fan, we weren't getting that from Obi Toppin. So then I kind of understood, like, you know, it's got to be that Thibodeau mold. It's got to be those guys that fit the clothes. So it's
right. It's we're not talking about a vet in Precious Achiuwa, you know, that's 32 years old. You know, the guy's 24 years old. You know, it's a new role for him, you know. And Nicodator said, you know,
and it's okay.
He's done. Stepping
it's
up.
It's okay to react in the moment a couple of years ago if you don't like what Tibbs is doing. And it's okay to like him now. Opinions change. Everything changes. But yeah, it seems like they've weeded out every player that didn't fit that fucking mold. And they've replaced them with players that did. And now it's this like cohesive unit out there. It's amazing to watch, and we seem to just keep getting better, and these injuries suck and everything, but we're learning how to play without these guys, and we're going to get like an all-star team back hopefully before the season's over.
Well, to that point that you just made about, I'm going to call it the culture, how the culture has changed. You know what you don't see as much anymore? You do see it, but it's not a thing the way it was maybe the last two seasons. When the guys arrive at the show, you hear me exactly, when they arrive at the Garden, it was almost like a fashion show for Instagram, and they're modeling different things. You know, from Frank Ntilikina to RJ Barrett and Obi Toppin, right. You had that era. You don't see that no more. You see Precious Achiuwa showing up with some cargo pants and a baggy sweater, and he's just coming to work. It's not a thing, right? So it's almost like the culture has changed, where the young guys maybe were interested in these things that these guys here now are not. These guys are invested in basketball. They're Plugalik guys, and you know, they fit the mold. They fit the mold.
Yeah, and I think we all loved Quickly, right? But he was one of the last guys to go here, and so much fun to watch on the court. But at the same time, when he's lighting up the Celtics and he's dancing all over the court, he's making it all about himself. It's fun to watch in the moment.
Yeah.
But this team right now is fucking serious. There isn't 100%. That shit.
100%. You know? That's kind of what I'm referring to too. Because like you said, like, I don't want to say that they were selfish. They're young guys, and the young guys being young guys, and touche to Barry about Precious, that's age. But it just seems like this group, and I think it's probably from the Villanova trio, there's a different kind of focus with this group. You know, and these are three guys that are in their primes. You're talking about Jalen, you're talking about Dante, you're talking about Josh Hart. So these are three guys that are in their prime, and I'm sure they set the tone. So I you see that on the floor. When you think back in hindsight, when you were mad at Tibbs for not playing Obi Toppin, you kind of get it now, right? Like, you kind of get it. So I guess it is okay now to kind of cut Tibbs a little slack and not look at him like the old geezer that refuses to adjust.
Love Tibbs now. And what about Mitch? What about Mitch? Is he the last one left, or is he fitting into this mold when he comes back?
At this point, he might be back before Randall, right? I mean...
But do you know what I'm saying? Is he the last young guy who's not serious, or is he serious? Is he ready to come into this team and be who he is?
No, he was having a great season this year, and he was all business. He wasn't a goofball this season. I mean, he bulked up. He was obviously in the gym. He's putting in the work. It's just a shame that, you know, what happened to him back in December. But yeah, I think he's definitely a Tibbs guy. Defensive minded guy, you know, rim protector.
I agree. And I also think that it was the role that he's always been in. He was always the cleanup guy. He was never the fancy guy who got the ball and got these opportunities to show out. He was the guy doing the dirty work, cleaning up the boards and picking up the slack when you let somebody get by you at the rim. You know, he's that presence in the paint. So he was always a blue collar guy. So I don't to answer your question correctly, I don't really see him having an issue at all when he returns. I think he'll fit right in.
And he's gotten better cardio wise. You know, we used to talk about how he was huffing and puffing down the court, and we didn't see that at all this year. He was hustling back. He didn't have his hands on his knees in the fourth quarter like he used to. You know, so he's been bringing it, and I'm excited for him because he is going to be the first of these three back on the court.
Yeah, that report came out today, fine. Right? Is that what you just said, Blandy? Oh. You're the newsman.
So he's probably the first guy back. I mean, we haven't heard anything about, like, Randall's not back with contact, correct?
No. Correct. He's not back with contact yet.
I mean, it might be time to start worrying about that. How many games are left in the season?
And when you start worrying about 11. OG, I mean, they just made it seem like he was going to be out, you know, just because, what is it, maintenance on the elbow?
Or yeah, it's like inflammation or something.
Right. How long ago was that? When was that? 2 weeks ago?
Well, he's missed, what, 4 or 5 games in a row? 6 games? Something like that.
Yeah, but the report came out today that Mitch is expected to come back first, obviously. I feel like it's any day now we're going to turn on. It's a few hours before the game, you're going to hear that Mitch is active. And he'll be coming off the bench.
Right, yes, he should come off the bench. I don't think he should start back in the lineup when he returns. You know what I could have used right now and I kind of regret? I could have used a little rosé wine, Craig. I could have used Harry and David, was it?
You'll learn. You need a little something to sip on during these things.
Yeah,
All right, Nickinator. Let's turn it back on you. Mm-hmm. I see all these photos of you hanging out with Knicks fans after games, right? Knicks Twitter, pretty much.
Yeah.
What's the latest, craziest night you've had? Because I feel like I see tweets from you and you're like, just got home. After hanging out with who? Who were you hanging out with? What the fuck were you guys doing until how early in the morning?
It's funny because it's not funny actually. And I had to take a second to thank my wife for being so understanding. I just want to get that on wax right now. But you know, if I'm at a bar, sometimes I'm there till they close the bar. I guess the wackiest thing is that I don't know if you guys noticed, but I have an Uber driver. So
I was going to ask you about that too.
Yeah, I have an Uber since I've been taking care of my mom or whatever else, but I literally have a blow up mattress in the back of my SUV and in the parking lot, knowing that I've had too, because you asked me the craziest, in the parking lot, knowing that I've had too much to drive, like I can't drive like this. I just,
am I the only one that thought he was going to say blow up something else?
Yeah, that was only you. You
got that in there too.
Colonoscopy, man. You're still thinking about that, man. Just relax. But yeah, I've had a mattress. I have a blow up mattress in the back seat of my car. And my wife calls me, and she calls me FaceTime, and I have to like literally show her like, no, that's the garden right there. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, I'm at the roof of the parking lot across the street from the garden. I can't drive. I'm not going anywhere. And she just hung up on me.
So yeah, that's what's happening when you say you just got home. You were just sleeping in your car in a blow up mattress.
I can't drive. If I can't drive like that, bro, that's just
no. I thought you were out partying with like Danny or something.
No, I mean I thought Danny
all night.
Well, I better not say that. So one night, you know, what happened one night? I forgot. I don't want to say the names, but somebody, you know, gave me a little something at the bar.
An edible, right?
No.
What?
No.
Ecstasy.
No. They were puffing. So I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. They passed to me. The shit was so strong that I was basically a zombie in the corner. And the waitress comes over and she's laughing like, you all right? Because you all right? You've been there for a minute now. And I'm looking at these guys and they're all like, oh, I got to make my train. And like, oh, everybody's with the train. And I'm just slumped. Like, I can't even move right now, man. So, yeah, man, I've had some really great times. There was a bar across the street. I think it's closed now. The name's escaping me. It was the night that we left Blarney's. Was it Molly Lee's? We left one of them and we crossed to that. The Tempest, it was called. And they were going out of business. It's actually closed now. So the girl was like, she shut the doors and then we partied in there. It's like 7 in the morning. And it's me and a couple of folks from Nick's Twitter. She's not even charging us for drinks. And we're just in there bugging out, man, talking shit about the Knicks and talking shit about life and just having a great time. And so I've had some real amazing times with some
Knicks
fans.
Sounds like a great night.
Oh, yeah.
We got it, Barry. We got to get in on one of these. How do we get like a, you know how all these fucking content creators have the watch parties?
Yeah.
How do we get an all-nighter to happen?
Well, you think you could pull an all-nighter? Could you do that? Because I know I could.
It's not scripted, man. It's not scripted. It's sometimes, you know, you go in there, you have a couple of drinks, and you get up out of there nice and early, like a good, decent human being.
You can't plan something like that, Craig. Yeah, you can't plan that.
Well, I can't do it. I can't do it then. So you have to go out like 100 times a year, and one of them might be an all-nighter?
Come on. You're lucky to see us past 10.
Not for nothing, but if you're hanging out with me, I mean, there's even diamonds on top of... Diamante's on top of Blarney's. I don't know if you guys have been there, but Diamante's is a dope little spot that nobody knows about. So sometimes you go up there and it's a nice little more mellow crowd. You just chill. I ran into Larry Johnson one time. And I'm awestruck. Like I see it's Larry, and I was a female that I bumped into after the game, and I was walking with her. And we were talking, and he actually stopped me, and I was just kind of like, oh, and it was a Golden State game. We lost at home, I believe it was,
we got slaughtered,
destroyed.
So he literally stops me, and he's giving me, you know, his 2 cents on the game. He was with some people. And I'm such a giddy bitch. I'm just like, I don't even know what he said, because I was like, oh shit, LJ is talking to me. So just being out there, like I said, like it just happens, man. But Larry Johnson was really cool, and I really appreciated that moment. And the girl that was walking with me, she was also Star Trek. And then she was trying to take pictures. I'm like, gotta grab it. Like, relax, man. It's obviously with some people, and was nice enough to acknowledge us and say a word. Let that man have his evening, and don't be that person right now. So
now he recognizes Nick and Nate, or he recognized like all the Nick stuff you were wearing?
I don't think he recognized Nick and Nader. I think he just recognized all the garb. I mean, I had a bright orange jacket on with the emblem, you know, so I think it was just that. And he had on, I don't even know what you call those hats, like a fedora, but it was really low. I just knew he was a really tall guy. And then when we got up once, I was like, oh shit, that's Larry Johnson. Mm. And again, he just stopped and started chatting us up really quick. It's not like he said a lot, but again, I was so awestruck that I can't even remember what he said at this point. I just was like, oh shit, Larry Johnson actually stopped to talk to me. So it was cool, man. It's cool.
Did you get a photo? Or no?
I didn't. I'm not that person. One time I was in Bahama in the Bahamas, and Patrick Ewing literally walked by in front of me, and I'm just not that person to interrupt somebody. You know, like I wasn't going to do it. So that night with Larry Johnson, I just was appreciative of the moment. Despite me posting half my life on Twitter, certain things, and I was just appreciating the moment. I wasn't even caught up in asking him for a photo, but.
I'm the same way too. Like I'm too cool to take a photo with fucking one of my idols.
Did I ever tell you this?
I once was on a Stairmaster.
Oh, I'm not too cool.
No, I took that photo for you, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah.
So you think I would say let me get in there, but I mean, no, you guys, I don't need this shit.
You got a picture of my feet with Clyde's feet, right, Barry?
Your feet with Clyde's feet?
Yeah. Don't you remember that picture you took?
Oh, yes.
That was hilarious. You took a picture of my feet with Clyde's feet.
Yo, can I say something really quick about your podcast? Because you guys are not norm. I always look at you guys like a change of pace running back in the NFL when they used to actually run the ball. I listen to your podcast, right? And when I do listen to it, it's usually I'll listen to a couple of episodes in a row. I'm working, or I'm driving from one place to another, or even when I was Ubering back then, was when you guys were one of the first podcasts that I really used to kind of listen to, you know, somewhat religiously. Back then, Knicks Fan TV didn't really have legs yet. I would stay in tune with them. I don't even know if I should be mentioning other content creators, but you know, you guys were one of the first. You guys were one of the first podcasts that I used to listen to. So when the opportunity came up, I thought this is great because, like I said, you guys are not the norm. You guys kind of have an energy where it's the three of you guys, and you guys have chemistry between you. That's your friendship, and it comes through on the pod more so than the Knicks. Like you listen to some other pods, and it's not to knock somebody, but that chemistry isn't there. Like they're just kind of regurgitating information and throwing numbers at you, and this and that. And it's just stale. Like it's not entertaining. Like I said, I listened to your podcast, and I learned about Greek lasagna. I learned about the joys of colonoscopy, right? I learned about the joys of colonoscopy. I don't know. Like, I listened to you guys. You guys, you know, cannolis. I've never had a chopped cheese. And I'm in the South Bronx. I've never had a chopped cheese, but, you know, and I've had a cannoli. But my point is, like, I listen to you guys, and I enjoy the pod because it's a different type of energy. And, of course, there's Nick's content.
You.
Like, Blandy, the one time, I didn't even think about it, but Blandy talking about when Kelly Olynyk was signed and how it's going to really set the market for iHeart. And I'm like, I'm not even thinking about this shit. So you guys still do deliver information, but you do it in a different kind of way. So
you never know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, sometimes we get lucky. Sometimes we get lucky and say something that makes sense to Nick's wise. Blandy was actually feeling real self-conscious before today's show, Nick and Nader.
Why?
And was worried that you didn't even know he existed. So
what?
You knowing about Blandy, like I think it made your day. Did it not, Blandy?
Yeah.
I listen.
I know. I'm like the third. I'm the third wheel. I know.
Barry showed us a screen grab of the DM from you, asking like, "Hey, can we have Nick and Nader on?" And Blandy was so offended that you didn't mention his name.
I was not offended.
This is how fucking sensitive we all are. Not offended, but hey, you were. Listen,
it's a sensitive time.
You noticed it. You fucking noticed it, Blanty.
It's a sensitive time on Nick's Twitter. It is a sensitive time in the world.
That's all I get. No respect. No respect at all. You.
All right.
Thoughts on Papa Left.
Thoughts on Papa Left.
Yeah. I went on Twitter right before this for a little bit because I like to go on and make sure I'm not missing any big news that might have come out. Because I'm just watching the games and talking to fucking Barry and Blandy, and I'm not going on Twitter. I saw a tweet that he's not on there anymore, or he got bullied off of it. Is that accurate?
I don't know. The circumstances around why he's no longer on, I can't speak to that. I really don't know what happened. Yeah, I know there was an exchange with someone else on there that kind of rubbed him the wrong way. And maybe that spurred it. I don't know. But I do know that he also took a sabbatical from it around this time last year. Mm. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's just an interesting coincidence. But
yeah, so not to single him out, but like that's the thing about Twitter. Like, how, like, it's so fucked up out there. Why is it... Why do people get that personal? Why do people go off of it? What?
Quick question. How long are I sent you a text. How long are we allowed to play music for before like how much?
I don't give a fuck anymore. It doesn't matter.
You don't care? All right. Just because I've got something prepared in case anybody.
I mean, Nick and Nader wanted to play Jay-Z the whole fucking show, but that's maybe
in case anybody started talking about anybody else.
It was either that or Big Baby's porn intro from...
what is that?
Or the Boston guy.
MILF porn?
The MILF porn intro?
Oh, MILF porn?
Yeah.
The new story that Blandy did the other week.
Yeah.
I forgot about
that. Ending up in the porn. Come on, man.
All right, I just want to get this one last question out of the way for you.
About Papa Left, just to finish that point.
Yeah.
I enjoy Papa Left. I think he's hilarious. I think sometimes he rubs people the wrong way because my two cents on Papa Left is that he lights a cigarette with a blowtorch, right? Like he kills a fly with a sledgehammer. Mm. He's just that guy. He's that way, and sometimes that rubs people the wrong way. So, you know, he can be, I don't even know the word I want to use right now, but he can definitely rub people the wrong way. There's some people on that they're like that. He's one of them.
Yeah. You got your mom into smoking weed. Is that right?
It's not ready.
It's like an Oprah Winfrey interview.
I was not ready for that one. Okay. So,
no, Baba, I just think that's pretty funny shit.
The hard hitting questions.
Have you gotten your mom into smoking weed yet, Barry?
I've got her into like once in a while having an edible with me.
Yeah, you're not going to be satisfied until the Department of Aging kicks down the door and locks me up.
Okay, that's not true. It's not true. And
You know what my mother does enjoy? A Black and Mild. I don't know if you're familiar with what that is, but she'll enjoy herself a little cigarillo. So when you see her smoking something on there, it's that. It's not a
blunt. What is that?
Black and Mild. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're a cigar. No. They're a light cigar. So she endures those.
You're much cooler than us, so I don't know what a Black and Mild is. Blandy, you want to play some voicemails for us?
Yeah, let's hear what the people are coming with this week.
By the way, before you play this, there was one funny voicemail. The first voicemail I think you're going to play is Janie.
Oh, okay.
Ralph's Janie. She called right before this and like gave her full name and Ralph's full name for some reason. Said, I'm Janie so-and-so, and then she was like, wait a second, why am I giving my full name? Hung up the phone, and then called back.
All right.
And this is her calling back.
So we're not playing the first one.
We're not. Janie, I got you. Respect. I'm not going to give out your full name, but I know it. I do know it, though.
Okay.
I'll share it with you guys on the side. All right,
here we go.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, this isn't fucking him. This is DJ.
Yeah, this is singing
me happy birthday a fucking week late. Thank you, DJ. You're a week late, DJ.
So I'm playing this?
Is this the first time DJ's called in this season? Or is he called in another time?
I think he's called in at least once before.
It's been a while, I think.
Let me hear the birthday song.
You know what? Go to number two. Let's go to number two because I set that up, bro, and then we'll come back to this.
This is Janie of Ralph and Janie. We have been married 19 years.
Okay, there we go, because we asked.
The other day I did tell somebody we were married 29. That was just wishful thinking.
Wait, so 19?
That's not a long time. Landy, have you been with your wife for 19 years
yet? That's like the same amount of time that I've been married, Barry. Same thing for you. And like, I mean, Ralph is much older than we are.
Barry, you've been married for 19 years?
You don't know Ralph's whole life story.
I guess we don't.
You only know bits and pieces of it.
19 years this year for me and for him.
Yeah. For both of you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris too. And maybe guess maybe they got a later start in life. All right.
Anyway. How long have you been married, Nick?
Where is Uncle Funko? Can we get Uncle Funko back on here, man? I want to talk to Uncle Funko, man. Get Uncle Funko on the line. It's my guy. Where's my guy?
We don't know who Uncle Funko is.
Oh, we lost quite a few fucking people that were weird as shit. And yeah, we don't know who. I mean, it is Barry's uncle. So, Barry, why don't you ask your parents where Uncle Funkle is? Someone should know.
Right.
All right, here we go, Janie.
Just my all kinds of things. He's my husband. He's my best friend. Aww. He's my Knicks watcher. And there is nowhere that I would rather be than watching the Knicks with Ralph, although I do believe that we might have been watching it the next morning because we were sleepy and went to bed before it was over.
Sure they did.
So, thank
on
you
their anniversary night
for giving me the chance to talk. Ralph, would you like to say something?
Go Nick.
Rolls reversed. Congratulations, Janie and Ralph. My wife would never, never watch a fucking Knicks game with me.
Really?
There's no shot in hell. Never.
Not at all? Not even just for a little bit?
I don't think I could convince my wife to watch a fucking minute with me.
My wife watched a little bit last game.
Yeah, my wife watched with me and my son. Wow. Yeah.
You guys want to laugh? I every year I try to do one away game. Right, I had done the Atlanta game when we got Cam Reddish. Literally was sitting right by them. Kind of looked out on the seat in that instance. Last year I went out to Denver when we got the win out there. Met Wally. Wally there, took a nice picture with Wally. That was dope. And then this year, I was trying to get out to Chicago, right? But I'm trying to be slick about it because it's our anniversary around that time. So I was planning this whole trip with my wife. Like, yeah, we're going to go out to Chicago and we're going to do this. But my whole plan all along is go see the Bulls versus Knicks, right? Sneak that in. It's a Friday night game. We'll be back by Sunday and we'll have a nice time Saturday night. And she won't mind. And my wife follows me. And my wife sees the tweet because, of course, I got to announce to the whole world that I'm trying to do this. And my wife is like, are you out of your fucking mind? Can I not have one day that you don't have this blue and orange shoved in my face? Can it just be one day about me? And to answer your question, I've been married to my wife now 18 years. And she was like, whatever we do this year, I promise you it's going to have nothing to do with the next. I'm like, okay, babe. So, yeah, man. Yeah. 18 years and yeah.
I get it. You know, two birds with one stone, you know?
I mean, you know.
It's a good plan. So that didn't happen, right?
No. If I can squeeze out Boston, it's going to happen, but that's definitely not happening. Not the anniversary weekend, brother. That ain't happening. I got to ask you. All right. I was listening.
Yeah, what's up?
And I don't mean to, but you know, Barry had mentioned the client that he had and a dinner with Clyde. And I know his client. I know his client, and I exchanged sex with him. I talked to him, and I was
going to ask you if you know him because that's where I got the seats from when we were sitting next to each other.
I mean, I figured when you were sitting there,
of course you know him.
I don't want to be rude.
You're at every Knicks game with him.
But how's that
dinner
going, Barry? How's the plans coming along?
Yeah, what the fuck is going on?
Let Nick and Nader finish.
Fellas, do not.
Let him finish.
Yeah, absolutely do not. That is a terrible idea. Him, Clyde, that would be awesome. Do not horn in on that. Don't even ask, bro. Don't even ask. Let him. You know how he is. You let him live, man. You let that man live.
Okay, so Nick and Nader, you got Barry's back on this.
Yeah, I'm with Barry on this one, and because I know who the individual is. Like I said, I've texted him and we've talked, and don't. That's a bad idea.
What's wrong with this guy? He wouldn't want us to join. Come on.
It's more about Barry not coming through.
For some reason, I feel like this is uncomfortable. What, Blandy?
I said it's more about Barry not coming through for us on other occasions.
Never comes through.
It's just another chance and him not coming through.
See, that's bad. If you got a track record, Barry, you got some work to do, man. You got to figure something out. You got to get them an all-nighter. You want to go out and give them an all-nighter? We can do that, man. You can go bar hop and around the garden.
There's always that.
Yeah, come on. Let's go have an all-nighter and then have a sleepover party in O's SUV.
Dude, if I had pulled an all-nighter, I need 2 weeks to recover from that.
Can we do a live stream during a sleepover live stream from the SUV?
The SUV is camera equipped in and out because, you know, people are wild. So I've got some Uber stories that I'd love to share one day, but this really ain't the platform for it. But
sex party.
People are crazy. People are crazy, man. People are crazy.
How big is that mattress?
You still have the blow up doll in there? I mean, the blow up mattress in there?
Absolutely. You plug it in right to the lighter. There's a lighter port in the back, and you plug it in there, and it pumps right up, man. It's awesome.
All right. Back to the voicemails.
All right. Which one? One, three, or four? You want one. DJ singing to you?
If he's going to fucking sing the whole happy birthday song, we might cut it off, but let's see.
It's 27 seconds, so I think it might be. So, but let's see.
Happy birthday to you.
Where the fuck is he?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Craig. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Craig. I wish you have a wonderful day. And as I wrote it on Twitter, the Knicks are no more sucks. See you. Peace.
Accurate. The Knicks no more sucks.
It's amazing he lost that accent during the singing.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job there. Why does it always sound like he's
inside
a machine? What are you showing
right now?
So when Barry shared the picture with Clyde, I was a little jealous. I actually, you guys know Danny B, right? Obviously, you guys know Danny B.
Yeah.
So Danny B hits me up and we go to catch a game, and it's a game where they're doing this, what is this thing called? This was the 50th anniversary sponsored by Caesars. Oh, actually, I don't want to mention another. But so we went in there and it was, Lucas, right? It was Clyde. It was, his name is escaping me right now. Guy that was a senator. Jesus
Christ. Oh, Bill Bradley.
Thank you. Yeah. And me and Danny are standing there, right? And I'm in my typical awestruck mode. I can't tell. And Clyde walks up to us, right? He walks right up to us. He says, "Hey, guys, thank you for coming." And he gives us a little fist bump. And I'm just like, hey, Clyde. Then Danny's like, "Hey, Clyde, this is awesome, man. You really love and respect what you're doing." And I'm just there, tongue-tied. Like, I'm just awestruck, like a big little kid, man. It's just, I saw the picture that Barry put up with Clyde, and I just wanted to tell you that story before I forgot it.
Did he ask you to buy him dinner then?
He did not ask me to buy him dinner, no. He had the cow print on, though. He did have the cow print on for that thing.
That Barry photo was in the sushi line at MSG.
Yep, that's right.
All right, Glendy, who's up next? I think this might be Ralph,
this
actually.
This is Ralph. I just wanted to let you know that Janie is my very special friend, and I love her, and she's my everything.
Oh, well, that's sweet.
Love you, Janie.
You guys are sitting right. Fucking right next to each other, probably, and can just deliver these tonight. Messages directly, right. You know?
I mean, hey, relax, Craig.
He wanted all the world to hear.
So sweet. So yeah. Sweet.
So deep.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
All right, last one. This one's a little long, Craig.
Oh, this is an old
one. Hey, fellas, it's DB. I'm walking fucking dog. Rest in peace, Dr. Dickie. I'll get that out of the way. I'm loving how the Knicks are playing. I think one of the things I love the most about these Knicks is they remind me of those 90s Knicks because they're kind of like a lot of football players playing basketball. You got Deuce McBride. He's tough as shit. Get knocked around. Just gets up fucking right back up, chases people down. Josh Hart is crashing into people like a motherfucker. Isaiah Hartenstein is fucking, you know, always scratched up, like he's got that scratches on his fucking noose tattoo, whatever the fuck is on his shoulder. So I just love how these guys play. I have a request, a news story I need more information on. I've seen a lot of nicknames out there for the big dummy, and he's not the big dummy. They're calling him the Black Nikola Jokic, the Black Jokic. And there's rumors out there that Hartenstein's black. I don't know how that works. Of Germany, but that's what people are saying. So I would love for Blanderson to do an expose on is Hartenstein black.
Isn't this a known thing? His dad is black.
I met his dad at the Barclays. You know, my brother's a big Nets fan, and we have our little sibling rivalry. And Ihart's dad, mom, his lady, and his sister. Mind you, all due respect, his lady is drop dead gorgeous. I don't know if you guys have seen this lady, but it's not like IG model.
She's smoking hot.
It's in real person though. Like if you like, you know, I thought that's IG model or whatever, and then she walked out. I'm like, holy moly, this woman is beautiful. So it kind of got your attention. And then they're all wearing his jersey. And then you look to the side and I see his mom and then I see his dad. I'm like, oh shit, that's iHeart's family right behind us in at the Barclays. So that was cool. And he is definitely sort of Afro descent.
This year his dad is half black.
Okay, that
dad is half black and is darker than Isaiah. Now DB said Germany. I don't know how that works. I mean, there are black people in Germany. First of all, Isaiah was born here and then moved to Germany, right? I think he's right, but there are black people in Germany, dude. You know,
listen, as I know that we're a podcast. I know we're a podcast that isn't afraid to go to certain places, but I don't think we should be doing an expose on who's black and who's not.
Just saying, it's not that surprising.
You're better off with the colonoscopy hour, man. You're better off having.
There you go. We'll talk colonoscopies.
There you go.
Lasagna, whatever. But not
there you
that.
Go.
But I did like what DB was saying about the '90s Knicks. Did you grow up with the '90s Knicks? Oh,
of course, yeah. Of course. I that's actually when I was younger. You know, I grew up in a certain environment. It was tough. I had challenges, and with the Knicks was the thing. And it's much like what I'm doing now. The Knicks is what I got lost in, man. That 90s team, you know, I started following the Knicks in 1985 when Ewing was drafted. Coincidence? My first real Knick memory is Pat Cummings and A.C. Green having a fight on WWOR Channel 9 at like 10 o'clock at night because I was sneaking up because I had to be asleep at school. And I've got it on. And when they started fighting, I was like, oh, shit, they're fighting. And my father's like, what the fuck are you doing? So he turned off the TV. But that's like my roots for the Knicks, the 90s team, all the way up from the 80s, man. So, yeah.
Who didn't love the fights of the 90s? When Dante started to, who did he throw down a couple weeks ago?
On Detroit. Against Detroit.
No, Philadelphia. Wasn't that Philadelphia?
Philadelphia was Oubre. He tried to pull down Oubre.
Oh, I thought you were talking about when he took the guy out at that, you know, that last.
I live for that shit. I get so excited. It just reminds me of growing up watching the '90s Knicks. You know?
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Mason Oakley.
And when Ewing was when they interviewed Ewing during the game the other night, I thought that was interesting because who was it? Rebecca was interviewing him, and she said that these guys, you know, they were talking a little bit about how Tibbs was there back in the 90s and Brunson was like a little, like a kid, and he was at Ewing's locker all the time. And I don't know if it's Tibbs who's instilled this in them, or it's got to be Tibbs, right? Or maybe Rick Brunson. But the players now have said that they want to play like the 90s Knicks. That's just, I don't know if that's fucking real, but that's... That got me in my heart.
that's fucking awesome, man. You see that blue collar work ethic with all of them. So
I fucking love this. Have you ever loved a fucking team as much as this? I mean, like this year's team. Maybe back then you did, but
yeah.
But
it might be nostalgia, but I still hang on to that '94. I still feel way about those teams. But
I mean, if you feel that way about this team now. And we haven't seen them at their strongest, at their healthiest. You show me a healthy version of this team riding us through weeks and weeks of the postseason, there's going to be a different fucking love that you have for this team that is nothing that you're feeling right now. So that can only grow.
Yeah, it's funny, like that old thing back, right? You get that old thing back. What it is that these guys don't die. They don't quit. There were games before in the past where we fade. We don't have it in us. We don't have the fight in us. That never happens to this team. And you remember that identity from the 90s teams. They don't have that quit in them.
Yeah, the effort doesn't get stale. Did you hear that stat from the other night? They said this season, if the Knicks were leading any team by 10 at any point in any game, their record's 30-3.
I did not hear that. Wow.
They lead the NBA in that stat.
That is sick. Yeah. It's insane.
I did not, honestly, man, when we signed Brunson, I was okay with it, but I wasn't thrilled. I almost thought, like, you know what, we might as well just pull the plug and tank because I didn't really see it. But when we failed to make the playoffs, I was really upset. I mean, part of it was because I lost some money on a bet. I thought we were making the playoffs, so that was the other part of it. But we ended up with the worst possible scenario almost as far as the draft. And when we signed Jalen, I was like, oh, man, like this is going to be Fred VanVleet. like, this, holy moly.
Well, nobody thought this. Nobody thought he was going to end up in like the top five MVP voting, top five in scoring in the league. That wasn't him.
He's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
And mark my words, in 2 years, he's going to lead the whole league in scoring.
Really?
He's on the rise.
And you dude, put that in that cut app, in that you know, what's the
game? There you go.
We should bet on it.
Let's do that. Yeah. Yeah.
You got to bet this fast. Let's bet on that.
Yeah. So
getting in on the cut app.
The five following players on the Knicks have in common? Brunson, Hartenstein, DiVincenzo, McBride, and Achiuwa.
They're all black.
I don't think Tate is black.
No, not Dante. What five again?
Dante's
Hartenstein,
the black boy I know, man.
DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, Deuce McBride, and Precious Achiuwa. It's going to be hard to answer, but what they all have in common is that they're all having the best year of their entire career. This is the best year that each of those guys having, and that's five fucking guys, and then. You have not their best seasons, but still pretty good. You're going to add Josh Hart back to that, Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson before he went down, and OG Anunoby. Yeah, I'm telling you, this team, they're playing at their best.
Let me tell you how wrong I was. I thought that the greatest thing about this particular team at the time was that we are in a real contractual sweet spot for a lot of these guys, that this unit would not be able to go on forward. And what it ended up being is what you're describing now. The fact that these guys are coming into their prime at the same time, right, that was not on anyone's bingo card. Like, I didn't see that coming. Yeah. So it's
and DiVincenzo and Brunson, they're in their prime. They're both 27 years old. But McBride and Achiuwa, who are having the best seasons of their short careers, he's 23 and Precious is 24. So these guys again going to be continuing on the rise,
because those guys that you're describing that are in their prime, those guys are setting the tone in the locker room. You got to believe that. You see the chemistry and the camaraderie between them. You kind of really didn't see that in the past. Like, yeah, they have little moments and I can't even think of RJ's name anymore.
They've had winning seasons before. We've now seen two, playoff bound teams. And yeah, they weren't smiling like this. The vibes weren't like they are now. And it's not like this team's the Boston Celtics. They're not going to win over 60 games this year, this Knicks team. So they don't have that much to be happy about. And yet the vibes are so good. They trust each other. They love playing with each other. 100%. You know, the passing is insane. They're running around. Again, the effort, the energy, all this stuff. I mean,
honestly, if they were healthy, who knows how many games they.
Yep.
Maybe you know what's looking even better and better? I can't remember how many shows ago it was where we talked about how they just gave $13 million over 3 years to McBride. And we were like, what the fuck was that about?
We were fucking questioning it now.
I mean,
And how come, speaking of McBride, how come nobody gives a shit that Deuce is playing 47, 44, 48, 43 minutes a game? I know he's young, but I feel like when RJ Barrett would play two games in a row in the high 30s, people would go fucking crazy.
No, we're celebrating Everyone's celebrating Deuce right now.
RJ Barrett had a weird thing about him with the fans. It was almost like what happened with Frank Ntilikina and the cult of Ntilikina, where I don't want to say they babied RJ, but they put him in a special place. And I think it was because of the draft pick, and he was a high draft pick, and we haven't had draft picks in a while, and this was going to be our guy. So I think certain people put him on a pedestal before his time. The fact that he got that money, and I don't want to sound like that guy, but the fact that he got his money a little early, I kind of thought that was problematic because he felt like he arrived and he wasn't putting in the work that he needed to put in. That was an issue for me. But even the core of that team, and this is just my personal observation, if you look back at that time, like, everyone was one-on-one specialists, and everybody was killing Tibbs for his offense, right? Because the ball sticks and they do this ISO crap. But it was about the players, because it's always read and react. And you see these guys now, they're not doing anything different, really. It's just the players read and react differently because they have a different – these guys are not looking for self. They're unselfish with the ball. They're sharing the ball. So that's really what I get from the two. I think that's awesome with this team, and I'm just thankful for it right now.
Yeah, everybody's clicking together.
Yeah. And by the way, going back to what you said about those five guys' best years of their career, one of the most impressive things about Jalen Brunson is I think every year is the best year of his career. So
yeah,
I know he's fucking blown it up this year, but I'm not even – I mean, I'm kind of joking about him being at the top of the league in a couple of years, but he does get better every single year. So I don't think you put anything past him.
It's a good time.
No, I mean, he's had these games in the high 30s where either he hardly went to the free throw line, and that's usually where a bulk of these guys will get their points, or a game where he had like 1-3. And meanwhile, he still got, over 35 points. So Yeah, if he you know continues with his 3-point percentage, takes a few more shots a game, and that stays consistent, yeah, no reason why he can't even get better than he is now.
I remember reading an article in The Athletic. I don't know if it was Katz or who said it, but they were talking about, because his 3-point range kind of exploded out of nowhere. He wasn't like this in the past, and they were talking about in the facility. I think in Tarrytown, there's something that they call the 4-point line. I don't know if you guys have heard this or not. And he basically would practice from what they call the 4-point line, which is a few feet. I don't know if it's 1 or 2 feet beyond the actual 3-point line, and that's where he would practice. And that's where he would put in his work. I don't know. I forgot how many shots a day or whatever, but he was working from that 4-point line. So when you see it now, it's just like, holy moly. But it's that. It's the work. He's putting in the work.
All right. You all know what time it is.
Ooh, is it that
Did
time?
It? Do you have yes. something?
Oh, I of course I do.
Oh, he's got a few stories for us. The newsman, Blanderson Hooper's here.
I do.
This is his moment.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, before we get started, what do you think about the news segment, Nick and Nate? Do you like it? Should we keep it?
Greg, come on.
I gotta say, keep it. He told me Jamal Mosley got extended. It made me think about is Tibbs gonna get extended? He told me about the Kelly Olynyk signing and that extension.
There you go.
So we got a vote. So, we got a vote.
Somebody appreciates me.
Yeah, I get the work. I appreciate that. He puts me on.
Somebody appreciates me.
We appreciate you, Blaine.
I'm gonna start off here with Domantas Sabonis. Just got a double double for the 54th consecutive game against the Sixers the other day. It is the longest double double streak in the NBA since 1976-77, since the ABA and the NBA merged. Will Chamberlain holds the record with 227 consecutive games. He actually
is almost there.
Fucked five chicks after each of those 227 games, by the way.
Wow, well, so really?
That was another consecutive game streak that he had going. But yes,
is that on Basketball
merge.
Reference? Or?
What?
Is that yes, on Basketball
that's, Reference? That I found on Basketball
five?
Reference. Five, yes.
That's like 6,000 women.
That's. I don't think that 220 times five is 6,000, but I mean, it's over 1,000, so you're close.
Wait a second, 200 times five.
It's about, so it's like about 1,140.
1,200.
It's like 1,145.
Hey, I've heard some stories about Anthony Mason and Latin Quarters, man. So those are NBA basketball numbers you spent right there.
So he breaks the record that Kevin Love set about 10 years ago, something like that. The NBA is shutting down the G League Ignite team at the end of the season, which is their elite draft prospect and veteran team that they launched back in 2020. They said it's just not necessary anymore with the rise of the
NIL. They saw I don't think that's the reason. I think they saw how shitty Scoot Henderson was, and they were like, oh, fuck this.
No, it's just the fact that they have that transfer portal in college basketball now and the name, image, and likeness, they just don't see a need for it.
Did you see their record this year? It was like 2-37?
Yeah, it was really bad. Really bad. Mm. Yeah. If you're interested, if you got any cash lying around, Kobe Bryant's dad is putting up Kobe's 2000 NBA championship ring for auction. What? It's not his actual ring. It's the copy that Kobe made for his dad. But it's the exact same thing. Top offer as of right now is 94 grand. So I don't know if you got 95 sitting around or 94,001.
It's probably not that much more money than it would have been if you actually bought it outright. Those rings are crazy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it cost 100 grand.
Although, you know, we're talking about it from 24 years ago, so who knows? I mean, the one that the Nuggets just got this past year, like, had a fucking, it's got like a drawer that you pull out of it.
Yeah, like the last five rings have been
crazy.
Awesome.
It's got a drawer?
There's like a little drawer portion of it that you can pull out. Yeah.
There's a drawer in the ring.
Yes.
You can open the ring. Yeah, you can open the ring.
Yeah.
And what's inside of it?
I don't know. I
you got to watch some of these like videos. What? They're like highly produced, super close up, and like they go around insane. The whole ring. They show you all the different things it does, the secret things that it has.
Wow,
it's sick.
I would want one.
Yeah. And last thing,
the Knicks will have one soon.
Let's talk a little bit about betting
here.
Okay, a couple of things have happened recently with betting, which led into a story that Barry actually sent me today. Last week, JB Bickerstaff of the Cavs talked about the dark side of sports gambling and how it's adding pressure to NBA players, how it's a distraction. Also about how he had to actually go to the authorities last year because he had people finding out his address and his home phone number, calling and getting in touch with him and threatening him. The Cleveland Arena actually is one of three NBA teams to actually have a sports book inside the arena.
Oh, no shit.
Wow. Yeah, so you've got that at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. On top of that, I don't know if you saw Tyrese Halliburton made a comment a week or so ago about how sometimes he just feels like he's a prop because, you know, people are always getting on him for bets and stuff like that. But that leads into this story. Jontay Porter. I don't know if you heard this. I hadn't heard it until Barry told me. Jontay Porter is actually the younger brother of Michael Porter Jr. He is under – he plays for the Raptors. He's under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months. Two games, January 26th and March 20th, where there was significant action on the unders on his stats for those games. And in both of those games, he took himself out early claiming that he had an injury. One of them was an eye injury. And then I can't remember what the other one is. Let's see. Where is it? The amount of money that changed hands. Betting limits on NBA player props vary by sportsbook and customer, but are typically around $1,000 to $2,000. On these particular nights, they had people betting upwards of $10,000 and $20,000 on his unders in those two games.
Wow. All
right. In one of them, where is it? He was set at 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, and he came in under. He didn't score, had 3 boards, 1 assist, then took himself out of the game with an eye injury.
So have people pulled the tapes on those games and looked at the injury to see how he's
acting? The NBA is looking at it. It wasn't an injury that he had in the game. He claimed it was an injury that flared up from a few days ago.
It flared up during the game, though?
And the other game, if you look it up, the other game was something like that as well. It's not like he got injured in the game. He had like a...
But aren't you curious to see that moment where he either came out or...
He just kind of got up off the bench and left. They said the DraftKings Sportsbook, the March 20, in the media release the following day said it was the number one moneymaker from the night before in the NBA. So the fact that there was all that money being put down, way more than usual, he took himself out of the game.
I didn't even know this was Michael Porter Jr.'s brother.
Yeah.
And the bet was on his under?
Yes.
Jontay Porter, who before you even did this news story, I didn't even know he fucking existed.
Me neither.
Neither did I.
What a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I mean, that's big time, you know?
It's under 5.5 points, he scored 0. Under 4.5 rebounds, he had 3. Under 1.5 assists, he had 1. Didn't attempt a 3. Took himself out of the game. And then there was another game like that also.
Wow.
Not looking good.
So they are looking into it. He's on a two-way contract right now, earning $415,000 from the Clippers. And then obviously you got this going on at the same time as the Shohei Ohtani stuff. And, you know, all this betting stuff is really coming to the forefront.
It's a slippery slope, man. I don't know what they're doing, but they're playing a dangerous game.
And he's still playing? He's still playing Porter? Right now.
Let's see if it says anything.
I saw he played like 4 nights ago.
Oh, but this just came out like 2 days ago.
This just came out? Okay.
Yeah, it just came out.
That's wild.
Yeah. It doesn't say anything about, you know, him being held out or anything like that. He signed with the Raptors in December. And nothing salacious. I looked. I went to Black Sports. I went to TMZ. Nothing for you. So that's the way.
Yeah. I gave you a story to put in there and you didn't even use it.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
I think this is a big deal.
I got one more.
Because it affects the NBA.
It's over. News is over.
This is from Barry. Barry told me.
This is a PS.
If the NFL has scheduled 2 games on Christmas this year, which will be a Wednesday, and Barry says that's going to be a big hit to the NBA. So Barry thinks this is going to be a big deal.
Oh, I made the news, Craig. He quoted me.
It's going to take away eyes from the NBA because we all know that the NFL is king, and you know. So yeah. Barry wanted me to say that as well. I don't know anything else about it. He did not provide me with any other information, nor did I care enough to look up any information.
When did this become Barry's news segment, Blandy?
So once again, that's the way the basketball bounces.
All right, that's going to do it for tonight's show, today's show.
Hold on a second. I thought you had a story to tell us.
Nah, not really.
You're not going to tell that story?
This has been... What story? We've been on for an hour.
The card story.
We could do it another time. Well, now you're going to be... Can you let me tell stories naturally, Blandy? Because now I feel pressure to tell a story that's probably not even that
good. You're the one who told me that you wanted to tell the story.
The what story?
No, it's not. It's so not worth it.
Can I have an ask you? Is it right if I share that I did this podcast with you guys on my timeline? Is that cool? Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, man. You have been the most polite trying to avoid... competing betting sponsors and
that was right.
You started naming content creators. You're like, I don't even know if I should be naming other content creators. They don't give a fuck. Say whatever you want. Do whatever you want.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate you. Thank you for having me on, man. Had a nice time. This was cool.
Yeah, man. It was awesome to have you. Hopefully we can have you on again.
You gotta do the all-nighter, man. You gotta figure out your schedule, man. Let's go pull
all-nighter. I'm down. I'm ready to do a podcast from the mattress. That's what we'll do. Podcasts from the
fucking
mattress.
Wouldn't we need some special equipment for that? We would, right?
We would need laptops and
would need special equipment.
Why are you saying it so weird? Special equipment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're the one who said if we were ever to do it together, like we'd have to have like a soundboard.
Yeah, if we wanted to do it right, dude, and do it together every week, yeah. But if we're doing it on a mattress, you could do that fucking with anything. I mean. It's a small... Who are you pointing at me?
No, I'm pointing at Blanderson. He's just got a great job now.
So I... Oh. Did I say we were doing it on the mattress? What did I say?
Yeah, I think you said we're doing it together.
I'll tell my quick story. My son had to go get... My son had to get some blood work done this week, so I had to like bribe him into doing it. And I was like, we'll go to a card store. He recently got into like collecting cards a little bit. I really gave him a lot of my old shit and...
What kind of cards? Just all sports cards?
Sports cards. Stuff that I had. And so I was like, we'll go to the card store in town and I'll buy you like a box of cards, a box of packs. Like we used to do when we were kids. Because I'm like, it'll be like $50 or something, right? We'll get like 30 packs. We'll open it. We'll try to get like a Wembanyama rookie or something. And it'll be fun. And I go into the card store. I'm fucking like a fish out of water now. It's like, the last time I went into a card store?
It was like probably 1991.
Yeah.
Or 92, like Stadium Club. When did that come out? 92?
It's like 30, it's a good 30 years. I walk in and it's a guy like us. And I'm like, I had to literally say, I was like, I haven't been in one of these things since I was a kid. I was like, I don't even know what to do. He starts showing. I was like, "Oh, we just want to buy a box of cards, like with packs." Dude, a pack of cards is like $20-$25 now.
No,
one pack.
I bought a box of basketball cards, 10 packs, 30 cards in each pack. I think this was like a hobby pack. No, I don't remember. He had some name for it. There's different kind of boxes.
This is that Panini. Is that the brand of this one?
Oh, yeah.
So I spent, I would get him a box with a lot of packs. And my mind was set on it, right? I'm not going to walk out of there with one pack of cards. He just got his blood drawn.
Right, you thought you were going to get a 30 case.
Yeah. I spent $280 on a box of fucking cards.
Look at Nick in his face, his jaw just dropped.
Those are my seats, man.
$280. Wait a second. You got him some basketball cards, or you bought him an Xbox? Be real.
Oh, don't even fucking PS5 say that. You're right.
Could you imagine?
You got him an Oculus? Oh, no. You just got him some basketball cards.
Barry,
oh,
we would buy boxes of Upper Deck at Cheap John's over in Smithtown.
Oh, it was like $30.
Like
$39.99. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, but these days you get like a chance to get an autograph of a player.
Patch of their jersey.
So I got this box where on average you can get one autographed card. And... I don't know. I guess that's pretty much it. Basically guarantees you an autograph. We got a Karl Malone. Porter. We got a Karl Malone autograph card, which is cool, I guess.
Yeah, if you're a pedophile, worth $3. If you want the autograph of pedophiles.
Oh no! Cool. Did he? Did he do that?
Is you didn't
he?
Know that?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's got a history, man. He's got a history. All right. It's why it was why he was so one. Quiet for a long time. They kind of buried him.
Yes. We did get a Wembanyama rookie card, which is cool. So we'll hold on to that. But okay. Dude, almost $300. And there was one moment where I was like, "Hey, man, could I like bring in some of my cards that I've got that I've been holding on to forever, and like get a sense of? Could you tell me like if any of them are worth anything, or I should get them graded?" And he starts talking to me about the Fanatics website and. You can follow a team. And he starts talking about all this shit. I'm just, I had no clue what he was fucking talking about.
You didn't even ask him about any of that.
I didn't, but I was like, I was so out of it because I don't understand the store at all. Yeah. And so I was just like, okay, cool. Thank you. I'll take that box and get the fuck out of here.
$280.
$280, man. Don't go into those stores. It's dangerous.
That's nuts. I have a shoebox of cards from way back when back there somewhere. Ugh. So I know I have one myself, but that's crazy.
Nuts. All right, Nick and Ader, but thanks for joining us. Barry, what is the schedule coming up? Give it to us.
Sure. Toronto, San Antonio, OKC, Miami, Sacramento, Chicago, Milwaukee, Chicago, Boston, Brooklyn, Chicago.
Awesome. That was the worst give of a schedule. We are a half a game out of Cleveland, guys. Are we catching up, Nick and Ader? Are we going to get there?
We are catching up. We're absolutely catching up.
I've got their schedule too, Craig.
If you have want you to compared hear who the they're schedules? Playing. Yeah, why don't you just rifle off the names?
Is Donovan still out? He had the orbital damage or whatever that was. Or is Donovan back? Or he's still out.
He missed the last game.
Yeah. Okay. So Cleveland has 10 games left. We have 11 games back, and Cleveland's got left to play: Charlotte, Philadelphia, Denver, Utah, Phoenix, the Lakers, the Clippers, Memphis, Indy, and then Charlotte again. And they just played Charlotte last game. So they're playing them like three times in this stretch. So it's pretty shitty teams that they're playing, except for like Denver and the Clippers.
Both schedules are pretty soft. Our schedule is pretty soft, too.
They're playing the Pacers.
Yeah. I mean, the Pacers are the spiraling
playing,
right now.
They're playing Phoenix. I mean,
but we're playing, you know, the Knicks are playing Boston. They're playing Milwaukee. They're playing OKC and Miami and Sacramento again.
That's tough. Yeah. That's a tougher schedule.
All right, guys, we've been doing this for like 70 minutes now, and I want to go to bed. All right, guys, until next time, it is a hard
Knicks
life.
Peace. It's a hard Knicks life.